week in Mitzvah Shem, Vav Elul. A number of yard sites. We're going to focus on the yard site of the Yitav Lev from Siget, the grandson of the Yismach Moshe we spoke about last month. Illustrious Chassidus Satmer, today's Satmer.
I thought it was Vav's room.
What?
Today was the Schlatter of his yard site.
Yeah? No. But the Satmar Rebbe comes from... Satmar Rebbe Yotze was this past week.
It was Wednesday.
Yeah, but he comes from...
But didn't you speak last week about
Thursday?
Last week we spoke about Bill.
So yeah, it was around 1,000. Yeah. Huh? No, it was a couple weeks ago.
A few weeks ago.
Yitav Leif. This is the Yitav Leif from Siget. His son was the Kedushas Yantiv, and his son was Gerl Satmar. Sam Rebbe Zichet Tzadav HaKadosh Levecha. See, to speak about Raul Belzer, just to, we shared stories for half an hour. It took hours and hours just to prepare a half hour of stories of this of the Belzer Rav, because there's so much about his life and so many stories, and you saw mamish unbelievable tzaddik he was. To do the same thing for the Satmar Rav would have taken also hours and hours. Satmar Rav, every single move that he made is recorded. Everything which he said is recorded. That would take a lot of time. It needs a whole inyan bifnei atzmei. Tzadik hador, the past generation. But tonight we have the Yitav Lev, who was no less than the Satmar Rav. And as I mentioned, he was the grandson of the Yismach Moshe, and also the Talmud Muvak. In between, there was a Belazar Nissen, who was the son of the Yismach Moshe, who we don't know that much about. It didn't have a Shemel Tiferes like Yismach Moshe did, or like the Yitav Lev did. He was a Rebbe of thousands, the Yitav Lev, and not only was he a big Rebbe, but he, like his grandfather, Yismach Moshe, he wrote Tshuvas and Halacha, like the Satmar Rav also, and the Kedushas Yom Tov. That was the way of the Derech of these Tzaddikim. They had a very strong Yad in Niglas HaTayir, and they showed it. How he came into this world, so his son, of the Yismach Moshe, Lazar Nissen. So for many years, they weren't able to have children, and the Yismach Moshe sent a letter to his son, to Rabbi Lazar Nissen, saying, don't you come, for your wife's family, don't they come from a tzaddik, Rabbi Kasil Zalman? And who was the Rav in the city, which he was in at the time, the Yitav Lev. He says, why don't you go to the Kever, you must spell at the Kever, and tell the tzaddik that if you have a child, you'll name him after him. That's exactly what happened. And he davened, and they were nifkad for Yeshua, and they called the Yitav Lev. His name is Yekasil Yehuda. Sound familiar? Yekasil Yehuda? Another big Rebbe with that name, Yekasil Yehuda. What? The Klausenberger Rebbe. The Klausenberger Rebbe is Yekasil Yehuda. That's because this was his great grandfather.
Was it less than Tadalbam, Yitav Lev?
The Yitav Lev, yeah.
Because Yitav is Yod Yod.
Oh, maybe that's fine. If it is, it's probably very well known that I'm not the Satmar, but it makes sense. When he first got married, so he lived by his father-in-law, and there was a very big dachkus. There was hardly anything in the house for them to eat. And after some time, he made his way back to Ul, where his grandfather lives, Yismach Moshe. And as soon as he walked into the door, so his grandmother saw him, the wife of the Yisach Moshe, and she said, "Oy vai." He says, "You look terrible." So he looked frail and he looked skinny. Yisach Moshe looked and he says, "Oy vai, you look amazing, you look beautiful. Your mom is shining." The Revitin and the Rav, you know, how they looked at the hunger. He says, "Your mom became so big. You became so big over this tkufa." He was a person who had a mayridika shiver in life. A mamash, a broken heart, broken hearts, like the way of the tzaddikim. This was a common occurrence. Once a balagola came into the, wagon driver, came into the Beis Medrash, and he stopped, and he was thirsty. He took out some water, and he made a shahakal. And then when the Yitav Lev saw him make the shahakal, tears started to come down his eyes. And he turned to one of his talmidim and he says, "If only I can make a bracha like this. Make a bracha like this, like a simple wagon driver." Once he was in his room, after he gave a shir, he gave a drasha, and he was known for his drashas. Beautiful, beautiful drashas. You could look at the tires in the Yitzhak Leib, beautiful tires. So he went into his room and he closed the door, and there was a visitor there who was like listening. He heard that there was noises coming from the room, and he put his ear to the door, and he heard that the Yitzhak Leib was saying, he's talking to himself, and he was saying, you go out there and you give drashas, and you're just fooling the people, you're just faking the people, you're mamash a garnish. So this guy was an Amaris. He started parading around to everybody, oh, the Yitzhak Leib is a garnish, he's a nobody, he's a faker. The Sat Merav told us over. He says he was mamash a tippish. He didn't know the derech of tzaddikim that they do that. So they thought that he was mamash. He was fooling everybody. He had a yeshiva. He was very much oisik with talmidim and bacharim, and it took up a lot of his time. And he was meiser nefesh for that a lot. And he had a lot of redifa by the misnagdim and the different towns. And he from this town to this town and to that town. And I heard from my rebbe that the tzaddikim said about him. That he could have been, he said about himself, I could have been a Noida Yehuda. I could have been as great as a Noida Yehuda in Halacha. But because of all the redifas which I had, it gave me no Yishuv Hadas. I was so torrid in all the tirdis and the tsar that the people caused me. I didn't have the Yishuv Hadas that it would take to become a Noida Yehuda. He was mechutanim with the Divrei Chaim, with the Tzan Zarav. The son of the Tzan Zarav, his first son, the Gorlitz, no, not the first son. One of his sons, the Gorlitz Zarav, was the son-in-law of the Yitzhak Leib, so they were mechutanim. And once the Yitzhak Leib came back from the Tzan Zarav, and he commented to his son-in-law, to the Golovitz Zarav, and he said to him, we spoke about the Golovitz Zarav, I believe, not long ago, a while back, I think so. And he said to his son-in-law, he said, it used to be that your father and I were on the same madriga. He says, but now after this trip, I see that he's much, much higher than me. But the reason why that is because I'm a tapa with the bachar. I'm working with the bachar. But for me, it's a bigger lechatchila to be on a lower level and to deal with the bachar and to be by myself and to be on a higher madrig. Listen, the Divrei Chaim was not by himself, for by say. He was being oisik with God's Klal Yisrael, and he had a lot of things on his plate. But the lesson is an important lesson. He felt like it was kedai for him to give up on his own madrigas and his avodas Hashem to be a tapa with the bachar. That was more of a lechatchila for him. Speaking about the Tzan Zarav and the Yitzhak Leib, so once the grandson of one of the grandsons of the Tzan Zarav, the Rudniker Rav, so the Yitzhak Leib had come to Tzan's for Shabbos, and afterwards the Divrei Chaim had said to his grandson, you should go back with the Yitzhak Leib and spend time with him. You have a lot to learn from him. So of course the word of the Divrei Chaim was gold. And he was preparing himself to go, but he knew, like the derech of chassidim, that they don't do everything on time. So he figured that by the time the Yitzhak Leib packs up and gets ready to go, it could be later a few hours, it could be tomorrow, it could be the next week. He didn't think that he had to rush. But when he came to go check on the doings of the Yitzhak Leib, he saw that he was mamash ready to go. Everything was packed and everything was very punctual. So he had a kvittel in his hand. He had a kvittel in his hand that he was going to give to the Yitzhak Leib, but he, now that he was going to be leaving the Divrei Chaim, so he decided that he didn't have time to write a new one and take it to the Divrei Chaim. He didn't want to like leave without saying goodbye to Divrei Chaim and giving him a kvittel. So he took it very quickly to the Divrei Chaim. Actually, I think it was a kvittel which already he had given to the Yitzhak Leib, and he took it and he ran over to the Divrei Chaim. So he ran to Divrei Chaim. Divrei Chaim looks at the kvittel and he looks at it. What, you're giving me a kvittel which somebody already read? Give me a kvittel somebody read already. And he was able to see that a tzaddik had looked at the kvittel, that it was there's nothing for. He was able to see right away. There's nothing which needed to be done. So when the Rudniker Rav came back, as soon as he saw the Yitzhak Leib, the Yitzhak Leib said to him, oh, see, I know how to read a kvittel. He said, see, I know how to read a kvittel. To read a kvittel by tzaddikim, it is a very, very, very beginning. I told you a lot about the Belzer Rav last week, that he used to sit there with closed eyes, mamish, and even before people came into the room, he knew what was going on, and he read it without even seeing it. It's mamish niflais, but... There was a certain chassid to be. He wasn't a chassid at the time, and he didn't really want to come to the Yit of Leib, but he decided to come anyways, and he said, give him a kvitl. I said, okay, fine, give him a kvitl. So he was standing there with his, he was there with his father, actually, and there was many children in the family. They gave it over to the Yit of Leib. And the Yit of Leib was looking at the kvitl, and we got to this child's name, so he looked at him and said, this is you. This is you. So as soon as he said that, he was mispoiled from the Ruach HaKodesh, that he knew that on the paper that who was who. So he became a staunch chassid of the Yit of Leib after that. He didn't leave him. Once he had a gabbai, he was like a nigun gabbai, that this was the gabbai who would be mechaber the nigun. And you know, by the chassidim, we have all the songs of the chassidim, but people had to write these nigunim. So in the court of the different tzaddikim, so sometimes the Rebbe would write the nigunim, and sometimes there was somebody under their watchful eye that would write the nigunim. So by the Yit of Leib, there was the composer of the nigunim. And he taught the Yit of Leib a certain nigun. And the Yit of Leib sang it Friday night. Sang it Friday night for Shalom Aleichem. So the next morning, so the Yit of Leib, he said to him, so what's with the nigun? He came out of his office, what's with the nigun? He says, I don't know, Rebbe, I don't know. What do you mean, what's with the nigun? He says, no. So the Rebbe goes back to his room, he comes out again, and he says, what's with the nigun? What's with the nigun? He says, I don't know what you mean. So finally, Yit of Leib says to him, I don't understand. He says, I had a dream last night that this nigun was being sung by a woman. There was a woman who was singing the nigun. So I don't know. So the chassid was thinking. He said, I don't know. And then he realized that when he was composing the nigun, so his wife was also a composer. So she threw in a few notes into the song. And so he was able to be margish, the woman's, because of his kedusha, he was able to be margish that there was like a kol isha that was inside the nigun. And so he said, what's with the nigun? It's a woman singing the nigun. It's kol isha. It was margish in the nigun. Such high levels, unbelievable levels of kedusha. So once the Yit of Leif, he was spent a Shabbos in a certain city, and there was a Rav, a Mesnagdish Rav, who was there, and it was over, it wasn't over Shabbos, it was over Rosh Hashanah. And afterwards they got together, and he asked the Yit of Leif, he says, so how were the Tkiyas? The Yit of Leif was the Baal Tkiyah. He says, how were the Tkiyas in Rosh Hashanah? So the Yit of Leif says, oh, mamash, it's very shver, shver Tkiyas this year. I tried to blow, and every time I blow, it's... Yit of Leif says, so how are your Tkiyas? He says, oh, mamash, Gevalda came out just like a harp, just like a trumpet. Everything was mamash beautiful. So Yit of Leib said to him, he says, let me tell you the difference between me and you. He says, the whole year I start up with the Yetzer Hara. I'm always making him, giving him aggravation and making problems for him. So now that I try to blow Tkiyas, so he makes it hard for me. He says, but for you, you give Nachas to the Yetzer Hara the whole year. So he says, at one time of the year, he wanted to do some favor for you. So he does you a favor, so you can blow Tkiyas.
In your face.
Yeah. Oh, this is a mamish, an unbelievable story. I got chills when I saw this story. There was a bacher who learned in the yeshiva, the Yit of Leib, like we mentioned before. And on Chanukah, once, he was in the Beis Medrash and they were playing cards. You know, like in playing cards in Bet Chassidim, especially on Chanukah, it was a very big no-no. It says here in the brackets, it wasn't the cards which we're accustomed to. It was a different type of a cards, which wasn't so bad, whatever it is, but it shouldn't have been done. So the Rebbe came into the Beis Medrash, and very quickly they tried to hide the cards, everyone wouldn't see, but he saw everything. And he pulled over one of the Bachar, and he pulled him over to the side, and he had a few words with the Bachar. And the Bachar, he mamash broke into tears, and he couldn't stop crying. So they thought that the Rebbe had blasted him, and he said, tell us, what did the Rebbe say? Tell us what the Rebbe say. No, I can't say. So later on, they ended up telling him, this is what happened. Said that once on Erev Rosh Hashanah, that the gabbai of the yeshiva, he appointed all the bachim to go to different houses to go collect money, you know, for the yeshiva, like we do on Purim. They did that at different times of the year, and it was a very successful campaign. Everybody came back with very nice donations because it was Erev Rosh Hashanah, as you can imagine. And this bacher, he decided that since he was seeing so much Hatzlacha, that he would even go Lifnei Mishur Sadin, and he went to other houses, and he spent the whole Erev Rosh Hashanah going from house to house, and like by the Chassidus Sheminhag in many places as well, that they fast either half a day on Rosh Hashanah or a full day on Rosh Hashanah. And because he spent the whole day collecting, so when he came back, he was supposed to have his Suda before Rosh Hashanah by the house of a certain Gvir in the town who was also a big Talmud Chacham. His name was Rav Kalman Kahana. And he had his own base medrash, this Rav Kalman Kahana. And this Bacher went to the base medrash and he davened Mincha with the Oilam. But davening Mincha with the Oilam, he was so fatigued and from the whole collecting, so he fell asleep in the base medrash. And when he woke up, he didn't know where he was. He saw nobody was there. He didn't know what time it was. So he went quickly to the house of Kahana, where he was supposed to eat, and he saw that nobody was there. Nobody was there. And then he went. The tefillahs were over, and then he went to the tish where the Rebbe was going to be, and that was just finishing that. And he was mamish starving. He was mamish starving, and he was in the back of the tish. He didn't think he was making himself way up to the tish to get the food. So all of a sudden. No. I forgot one part of the story. When he fell asleep, this is a very important part of the story. When he fell asleep in the middle of his sleep, so he was upstairs in the Beis in Shamala, and they were downing him because it was already Rosh Hashanah. He fell asleep, it went into Rosh Hashanah, and they were giving him, and they were bringing all of the mice in which he did, and he thought that he was there to stay. He wasn't going to come back down. All of a sudden, the Yitav Lev comes, and he starts to tine on his behalf. And he starts to say, Shirav Rachmanis, he's just a young bacher. He doesn't know much. I'm gonna make sure he's gonna be okay. It's gonna be my achrayus. And he says that quickly the Yitzhak grabbed him by his begadim and he brought him back into this world, and that's when he woke up. So he didn't know whether it was a chaylam emes. He didn't know. But anyways, he went to the tish of the Yitzhak Lev afterwards when he saw that everything had passed, and he was at the back. And the Yitzhak Lev, he was margish in his ruach hakodesh that the bacher was there. So he sent over a cup of wine, and chalas and some food for him to eat, and it mamash gave him a chiyas. That was his Suda. So on Rosh Hashanah and during Aseret Yemei Tshuva and Yom Kippur, he had other times to see the Yitav Lev, and he thought that the Yitav Lev would say something about if it was a Chalam Ames. And every time he had an opportunity to be with the Yitav Lev, he didn't say anything. Then Sukkis and Shemini Atzeres, not a word from the Yitav Lev. So all of a sudden he comes into the Beis Medrash on Chanukah, and he pulls over this Bacher, and he says to him, and pulls him over and he says, "Is this the reason why I pulled you down? Is this the reason why I pulled you down here? That you should waste your time playing cards?" So as soon as he heard that from the Yitav Lev, everything made sense. That's when he broke out into tears and he realized that the Cholam was a Cholam Emes and that everything was right and he had saved his life and everything made sense after that. Another bacher was very poor and again also very hungry. So it was known, I guess, that in the cellar, in the closet of the Yitav Lev, that he always had like treats which he would give the bacher. And this bacher was very hungry, and he knew that there was some yummy treats in there. And but the problem was that it was locked and there was nobody around to ask or to get in, and. And so he needed to find a way to get in. So when the Oilam went to Daven Mincha on Friday on Erev Shabbos, so he took some type of a hammer or whatever, some type of a tool, and very quickly he broke open the lock. He took out some nash, and then he went right back into the shul as if like you know he was there the whole time, and nothing happened. So when he was waiting in line to give shalom to the Yitav Lev, so the Yitav Lev says to him, "Kishibar dalsos nechoisha subriche barzel gidea," which means the pasuk to Helam, which you say, I think you say it on Erev Shabbos, right? It's what you say in the Hodu on Friday night. I think it says that he said it in a very loud voice, maybe like to the bacher. What we say on Erev Shabbos in the Hodu, so he said, you break down the doors of iron and barzel to get in. That was the pasuk that she said to him.
What did the buffer
It doesn't say. It just says V'hayu L'pele. It was an homage. Everybody was astonished by that. Whoever knew, I don't know, but the Bachur certainly was. So just a peek into the Avodah. The Avodah, the Yit of Lev. One of the days of the Yit of Lev, and every tzaddik had a different day, which was Mamash Der Avodah. One of those days by the Yit of Lev was the Shleish Asar Midos. That's one of the days of Aseres Mechuvah, where we say in the Slichos, the Yigimu Midos of Rachamim. So that, by the tzaddikim, and by the Chassidish tzaddikim, that was a very, very big day. It still is a very big day. So, the Maram Shik, who was one of the very great Talmid Chachamim of the generation, Talmud of the Chassam Sefer, when he became the Rav in Chust, so which was near Sigit, so he decided he would pay a visit to the Yit of Lev, and a very strong Yedidus came from that meeting. And one of the very great Talmidim of the Maram Shik was Rav Shol Brach, the Rav of Kashoy. Also a very well-known, great, great tzaddik. Maybe we'll talk about him one day. And as a young bacher in the yeshiva, the Maram Shik, so he had a cheshik to go to the Yit of Lev for that day. The Shleish Asar Midos and the Aseres Mechuva, it was very well known. So he asked the Maram Shik, who was known to, you know, to be a shtickel misnaged, you know, whether or not he should go. And the Maram Shik was very elderly at the time, and he was not well. And he said to him, to go to the Yit of Lev, you must go. And this may be your only opportunity to go. That's what he said. And when you go, please get a bracha and ask the Rebbe to be mispalo for me. And I should have a fuish lema. So Rabbi Shaul, he went there, and he said that the avodah by the Yit of Lev, by Shlosh Lamidas, was as follows. At Chatzos Laila, it began. It began at midnight. That's when they started to say the Slichas. But before they said Slichas, they said the entire Sefer Tehillah. Okay? That's how it began. And the Yit of Lev was the Baal Tefillah. When they finished saying Slichas, it took that long, so all of Tehillim and then Slichas, it was already Shachris. So it was already time to daven Shachris. After Shachris is over, they said Tehillim again, the entire Sefer Tehillim. And then the Yit of Lev, he gave a drasha, a fiery drasha of his Siris, which took, he says, Kamashois, darshan for hours. And then it says that he said the Seder HaKorbanos, I don't know what that means exactly, and it was already time to daven Mincha. But because everybody was fasting, so they said Vayechal, they said the Kriya Satayra, they read Vayechal, everybody was fasting. And eventually the day ended, but this was the Avodah by the Yit of Lev, by the Shlosh HaMidos. It makes mamash a shame to read a story like this, to see the Avodah and Shlosh HaMidos, that we say it, and we don't even know what type of a day it is, but you see in the Machitz of Tzaddikim how they took days and they made unbelievable hysterias out of these days. Once, the Satmar Rav told the story that it was on Simchas Torah, and the Yit of Lev was dancing with the Torah, and he was doing hakafas, and all of a sudden in the middle he goes, he says, it must be Chatzos, I already smell Shabbos is coming in. And as soon as he said that, one of the big clocks in town, you know, by the Galachs that they announced like the middle of the day, bing, bing, right when he said that, it was already, everybody knew that it was Chatzos. But he had such a hergish for Shabbos, he knew just from the way it felt in the world that it was, that Shabbos was coming. Shabbos was there. One last story. So, once there was a certain Gvir who came to Sigil, and when the Rebbe saw him, and he saw the Rebbe, so they ran to each other in each other's arms, and they were very happy to see each other, but one of the Talmidim knew that they had never seen each other before. This is a very weird exchange that two strangers would be embracing like that. So afterwards, he asked this guest, you know, who are you? How do you know the Rebbe? So he said, I live in Berlin. Baruch Hashem, I'm very matzliach. And one night, a Friday night, I had a dream that I was standing in the Beis Shomala, and they danmi l'kaf chayv, and it wasn't looking good. It was not looking good for me in the Beis Shomala. So all of a sudden, in the middle of the Beis Din, what was going on, so there was a big hush. And everybody said, the Seget HaRov is making Kiddush now. The Seget HaRov makes Kiddush. Everybody stopped, the Beis Din stopped. Everybody wants to come hear the Kiddush of the Yit of Lev. So he came, and he saw that there was a Yid who was holding the Kiddush cup, a beautiful Becher, and he was saying Kiddush. And after Kiddush, And after Kiddush, I turned to this rabbi, and I said to him, "Do me a taiva. Go to the oilam here. This is the Beis Din who came to hear your Kiddush, and please ask them that say a good word for me and pater me from this din." And he says, after I asked him that, I woke up, and I was back in this world. And the only thing that I remembered is that the Segeter Rav, that's the only thing I remember from the dream. But maybe the Segeter Rav. So he says, I went to the local town where there was a map, and I found that this and that, and I traced the Segeter Rav. And he says, I was looking from different shuls, and I came in here, and I saw on his face that this is the face of the dream. And he knew too. So that's why they ran to each other, they gave each other hugs, because not only did he recognize Segeter Rav also recognized him. He knew also what was going on. He was there too, so he recognized what was going on. So great. So see you again later.